Crunch Time!
Crunch Time!
You're listening to Crunch Time on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Crunch Time!
Crunch Time!
Good evening, everyone. Yeah, it's not Tim. We'll get him here in a minute for you. Frank Bohl here, Crunch Time, 6:01 on a Thursday night. Following this fine show, don't forget the NBA draft will follow this show, so that will be on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And don't forget we are sponsored by our wonderful people at CBD American Shaman and Shaman's Leawood Total Wellness at 117th and Row in Camelot Court, right there in Leawood. 913-227-9510. It'll take care of all of your needs. You know, if you're looking for hormone replacement, IV therapy for everything from hangovers to PTSD, full aesthetics, fully stocked CBD American Shaman store. It's the purest hemp oil available that they have there and all kinds of great stuff. And they've been our great sponsors, and we certainly love them. They've been great to us, Jamie Willard and Vince Sanders and the whole crew at CBD American Shaman. And, Tim, when you leave town, sometimes we forget about you. So stuff happens.
I see how you work, Frank. welcome to Crunch Time, everybody. You leave town, and, you know, you're sitting in the big chair right now talking about...
Got my feet up, just like you do.
Talking about the great CBD American Shaman products. I just tweeted out an unbelievable article that I found. And if you get a chance, check it out, everybody, because I really think that this is going to be just a really, really important factor, I believe, not only for us here in Kansas City, but I think for the NFL. And I think the NFL would be foolish not to take advantage of some of the great studies that are going on with the hemp plant right now. And we've talked about it many, many times with the opioid crisis and everything else that has circulated all the way through our society and the NFL. I know many, many guys who fought through and still have issues with opioids. And our fearless leader, Sanders, just was featured in a study that was an international cannabinoid research that CBD American Shaman did a study, and it studied CBD, CBN, and CBG, and how American Shaman's at the forefront of all of these great breakthroughs that are going on right now with CBD. And I'm just so proud to be a part of this great organization. Not only because I think it's great for people, not only because I think it's great for myself and my family. I take it all the time. My wife takes it. My daughter, now that she's done with swimming, she takes it. And it's been great for us. And I really and truly think that it'd be just so awesome for NFL players. And Frank, we just went through with the Olympics, whether you think that it's a good thing or a bad thing, when Simone Biles had to opt out because of some mental issues. It's a real thing. And, I'm one of those guys who, listen, I play through pain. You know, I would never think about missing a game and all those things, but I can't imagine having to do some of the things that she does with her body in the air, out of control, and trying to land things if your mind isn't exactly right. So, the psychological benefits of CBD are something I think people are going to start looking at also. So we are just so blessed to have CBD America Shaman as a Kansas City company that's made right here in Kansas City by Kansas City people. And remember, guys, there are 365 locations that CBD America Shaman has all over the country. In fact, I was just driving through Florida here and ran across one. Frank, you and I were in Manhattan. And
yes.
We ran across a CBD America Shaman store. So they're out there, and I'm going to beg you. I'm begging you to give it a shot. Because it helped me so much, and whether it's mentally or physically, if you're having some issues and you want to get away from prescription meds, give it a shot. Please give it a shot. And the CBN, they did a study on the CBN. Frank, we've known this because we've been dabbling in CBN for a year now. This study came out that it is so great for your REM sleep patterns, and CBG is great for everything from your liver to your digestive system. It is a wonder plant, the hemp plant, and it is a wonderful company. So congratulations to all our friends over at CBD American Shaman. If you get a chance, go to, now it's at Grunny 61. Not Swindad 61 anymore, it's at Grunny 61. And check out that article because it is so cool to read about our company, Frank, our company that is on the forefront of this great new product that is helping so many people.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I just talked to my sister today, who is older. I was the youngest one in the family. She was my oldest sister, and she's been having real trouble with her sleep, and the doctor keeps prescribing prescription drugs for sleep, and she doesn't like taking them, and they make her groggy when she wakes up. So she is now going on website at CBD American Shaman, and she is getting the CBN for nighttime, and she is going to try that. I've been trying to talk her into trying it for a long period of time. And now she's finally gotten to a point where she's going, I want to try this, and I want to do anything but get, I want to try to get myself off of these prescription drugs because they're not helping my sleep anymore. They just aren't helping anymore. They have to keep increasing the dose in order to help her sleep. And then when she tries to get up in the morning, she can't get out of bed. So I told her, you got to give this a try. I mean, what is the harm in trying this stuff, folks? Come on. Give it a shot, will you? Come on. I was one of the biggest skeptics ever. Just give it a shot.
Me too. And, guys, we're going to talk a lot about the Kansas City Chiefs, and we've got a lot of great stuff to talk about with training camp. I'm so excited. The training camp is here, and there's a lot of great stories out there, but we'd be remiss not to talk about our great sponsor. And listen, Frank and I, just like you said, we're both skeptics, and we put our names behind this product. Because we believe in this product. We use this product. We believe in this product. It has helped us, and it will help you. So give it a shot. Right now, 30% off at any CBD America Shaman store. If you're driving around right now and you're like, you know, God, I'm tired. I've had these crappy nights of sleep, and I wake up in the middle of the night. I used to wake up 4 or 5 times in the middle of the night for different reasons, sometimes for pain, sometimes to just wake up. I don't do that anymore with CBN. And I sleep through the night, and I wake up, it's like, wow, I can't believe I slept through another night. It is a wonderful, wonderful product. So give it a shot. Frank,
yes.
Training camp is here,
yes.
Buddy.
Yes.
I just can't believe it. I can't believe another NFL season is here. And this could be a special season for me personally. I was just talking to my good friend John Holmes. I have a couple things I have to do. During the high school football season, I had to ask for permission because there's one game that is kind of I'm going to may have to miss for an event, for the Ring of Honor event down in Jeff City, which is going to be really, really cool that they're doing the governor and the governor's mansion thing. So, and then, of course, November 1st is the Ring of Fame,
right.
Hall of Fame deal, and I just can't wait
Giants.
For that. We're making
plans Monday Night
right
Football.
Now. I mean, it's going to be just so much fun. And, you know, just not to talk about myself, but I just can't wait. I just can't wait to share this honor with you, Frank, and with my family and with all my friends and with Kansas City and the fans. And it's going to be so much fun. And the season's here. So, I mean, it's just right around the corner, Frank. And you know, the crazy thing is you usually talk about the offensive line. Okay, it's kind of like you and I talk about the offensive line a lot because, you know, that's I know most about the offensive line. Heck, I played 11 years on the offensive line and coached offensive line and my son played offensive line. So, you know, it's special to me. But right now, I mean, that's the topic. I mean, the offensive line is such a key factor for the Kansas City Chiefs and the run that they are going to make this year, I believe, to another Super Bowl. And listen, the point of emphasis for the Kansas City Chiefs this year in training camp has been developing and figuring out who's going to be on that offensive line. And so far, I know it's only been a couple days, but it's been the bright spot for this team. There's a bunch of good things, good guys. Joe Tunney just had a really cool interview I saw on one of the websites, and he talked a little bit about, this training camp has been great for them, Frank. One of the things you and I have talked about over and over again, really over the last 6 months, since we knew the Chiefs were going to kind of have a new offensive line. The offensive line is going to be in flux. But he said this training camp is just so important for the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line and the players. There's less distractions. The guys are getting to know each other better because they're in that bubble. He said there's been unbelievable bonding in the locker room, in the dining room, at training table. That Joe Tunney says that they're bouncing ideas off of each other. They're explaining things to each other. They're getting on the same page. They eat all the time together. They bond. They're doing a lot of bonding things together, and it's just so important. And you know, listen, I understand the training camp is one of those things. Now it's not as long as it used to be, and maybe not as physical as it used to be, but it still has a purpose. And that purpose is to get guys on the same page and understand that this is a big-time job and you're entering a big-time season and the guys going to get on the same page. And Brown, Tunney, Humphreys, Smith, and Remmers are the starting lineup. And if you think about that, Frank, and we're going to talk a little bit about this more, they're depending on some young guys. So those young guys have got to pick the brains, and those young guys have got to bounce ideas, and those young guys have got to ask questions to these older guys, these veteran guys, about what it's going to be like and what to expect. And there's no better place to do it than at training camp.
Yeah, and you know, they're going to have some bumps in the road. I think Creed Humphreys had some problems with the direct snap a little bit, and that wouldn't be a great idea, but they think he's just going to be terrific. I think the best thing about the offensive line right now, whereas it was in such a state of flux after the Super Bowl, that I think it is they have the deepest talent pool on the team. I'm talking about deepest. I'm not saying the best. I'm just saying they have the deepest talent pool on the team. They have all these guys, and a couple of young guys look like they're going to start, but you've got a lot of veteran backup guys. Like you said, Tim, they can sit there and pick their brains a little bit. These rookies can, about, you know, what to do, what not to do, how to handle this situation, different players they're going to face up against as far as, you know, defensive ends and defensive tackles and different schemes from different teams. I know, you know, they're all working on opening day right now. That's the way Andy works and getting ready for that. But they will be pretty well versed in what to expect. It'll be interesting to see how they all come together. But at the moment, they have the deepest talent pool on the team.
Yeah, Creed Humphreys had a rough day today. And centers are going to have rough days, especially young ones. He had three box snaps today, I think. I wasn't there, obviously, and I don't know if you know whether there were snaps underneath the Mahomes or whether there were shotgun snaps. I know that what I read, there was a couple that were high. There were shotgun snaps that missed their mark. But the one thing that he's going to have to understand, and really the team's going to have to understand, and ultimately the fan is going to have to understand, when you're a young center, and I've been in that position, there's just so many things going through your brain. The assignments, the technique, the fundamentals of running the play, you know, communicating. And then guess what? You got to block some pretty damn good football players. You know, you're at Oklahoma and you're playing some great talent. But there's games when you can pretty much go out there and you can do whatever you want to do because you're playing against a guy that's just not as good as you, because that's sometimes you run into that in college football. You're not going to run into that in the NFL. Everybody's good. So here's a guy, a young kid, who's now starting for the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that is most likely going to be a playoff/Super Bowl team. And he has to kind of remember, the ball is the most important thing in a football play, and he has to deliver that ball properly. And it's not just the missed snaps that are the problems, and those are the blatant problems, and those are the problems that everybody sees. But it's the snaps that are just a little bit off to the right, or just a little bit off to the left, or just a little bit low, a little bit high, that especially in the Chiefs offense, and we repeat this to everybody out there, especially in the Chiefs offense, timing is everything. And this year, timing is going to be so important for the Chiefs, because you'll watch and you'll see that a lot of the things they do, whether it's RPO or whether it's a quick throw, is because they're going to try and get the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands a little bit earlier, and so that he doesn't take the beating that he has to. And they have an offensive line now that can protect and give him that time to get rid of the ball on a timely fashion. That those snaps have got to be in the right spot, Because if it's, you know, I remember, you know, prime example, I was snapping the ball with Steve DeBerg one time, and he was throwing the ball out in the flat to the left. And he had to turn his shoulder and turn his hips to get that ball out there. And I snapped it to the wrong side, and that caused him to have to take an extra step and to fall back, and, you know, a little bit more to get his hips and his arm around. And he gave me the business. So listen, you've got to get that snap field. And that's the one thing he's got to understand. Yes, he's got to communicate. And yes, he has to know the play. And yes, he's got to block the guy in front of him. But the ball is the most important thing, Frank. And until he realizes that and understands that, and he knows it, but he's got to remember that. Because you cannot execute this offense if the snaps are crappy. You just can't do it.
Yeah, right. The timing's everything, especially when you're doing a direct snap back to the quarterback who's in the shotgun, and try to get him that ball as quickly as you can, right where he has his hand, so he knows exactly all his steps and everything else, so he doesn't have to move to a different position or take a half a step over here or a half a step over there. He just wants it directly in his hands and be able to start going through his progressions and with his footwork. I mean, it's so important. Hear about these guys, especially young quarterbacks, about working on their footwork and making sure everything is just absolutely correct. Well, a lot of that starts with the center snap, and that's why it's so important for that rookie to get, you know, Creed Humphrey to get all that done. And I think he's going to be fine. Yeah. He's just going to have a few hiccups during practice. A couple things also, Tim, I want to bring you up to date on. I know you know this, but Anthony Hitchens is still out because he's got that sore hamstring. Nick Bolton now has been taking a lot of reps, and that is going to really be good for him as a rookie out of Missouri, for him to be able to get into the rhythm of the defensive scheme. Travis Kelce had to leave practice today with a trainer. They say it was precautionary. His back, his lower back and his hips were tight, so they just decided, well, we'll set him out for the rest of the day because we know what he can do, and that'll give Noah Gray and some of the other tight ends, you know, a little chance to work into this offense. I think that'll be very, very important. But it sort of, you know, when Kelce walked out of practice today, first thing I started thinking about was depth. There's great depth on the offensive line, right? But I'm thinking about depth at tight end, and I know you like Noah Gray. I think he's a fine addition, smart kid. He's still a rookie, however. And, depth behind Travis Kelce, not great. Depth behind Tyreek Hill, not great. I know they have a lot of wide receivers, but they don't have a wide receiver like Tyreek Hill. You take Tyreek Hill out of that lineup, or you take Travis Kelce out of that lineup, and you have a totally different offense, because the defense can now go, okay, that guy's out, we can concentrate on this guy. If they're going to beat us with these other guys, that's fine. And that's where we come all the way back to Mecole Hardman and some of the stuff he talked about on Monday when he came in that really didn't sit right with a lot of the media and a lot of the people covering the team when he said he had not gotten together with Patrick Mahomes during the offseason, whenever he was working out or had a chance to work out with him. And that he said our schedules never really synced up. And I took that with a grain of salt. I said, if I were you, McCole, and I'm moving into this third year, which is a huge year for you, and Andy Reid said it on the first day, they asked about Mecole Hardman. They said, well, this is really a big camp for him. He didn't say, this is a really big season for him. He said, this is a really big camp for Mecole Hardman. That really got my attention. So we'll see what happens. I think Mecole Hardman was working out. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I think he's in fine physical condition and ready to go, but not getting together with your quarterback during the offseason, I think, is not a good sign for Mecole Hardman moving forward.
Yeah, Frank, we talked about it last week that some of the guys were out there practicing in a undisclosed area, and Noah Gray was there. So were the other young wide receivers. They were all there. So, you're right, Travis Kelce, they know what he could do. He hurt his back and his hip a little bit. You know, a lot of times, he's a little bit older, but, you know, when you're just starting that exercise and up again, heck, I remember, once you hit 29, 30, 31, It takes a little bit of time to get some grease kind of in those spokes and in those wheels. And, he'll be fine, but, you don't want to push it, and then all of a sudden you tear something. So that was a good idea for the Chiefs to take him out and let him kind of work through that and get some treatment, and he'll be fine. But Noah Gray, they said he made some plays, and he's earned the trust of Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has talked about how he's earned the trust of Patrick, and Patrick found him a couple times in practice today, and he made some nice catches. And that all rotates and goes back to him working with him in the offseason. Him working with him when not just at the facility, but out and about when they're going to go do things, when the guys are getting together at undisclosed places, they're working together, and Patrick trusts him, and they're calling a baby Kelsey now, which is a good thing. And so you're right. There's the depth, and once again, Frank, there's another rookie the Chiefs are going to have to depend on because of depth. So now you have a rookie at center, and how about Trey Smith?
Starting right guard.
They moved him into starting right guard. He's a rookie, according to Joe Tunney, who had a nice little article today, talked about how, hey, listen, Creed Humphreys and Trey Smith, the two rookies that are starting, they're really strong, really physical kids, and they really are digging into the playbook. And I think, Frank, that fits into, I hate to keep saying that if you listen to Crunch Time, you get the inside information. If you listen to Crunch Time, we're going to give you what we think is going to happen, and it's happening. But I think the Chiefs are going to try and find some more physicality on the offensive line. LDT, who's a fine football player, but more of a finesse player. Schwartz, who's a fine football player, more of a finesse player. Fisher, who's a fine football player, more of a finesse player. And when I say finesse, I'm not saying weak. I'm not saying they weren't good, because they were great. But it's a different style. And I think the Chiefs are going to go with a more physical style to take a little bit more pressure off Patrick Mahomes and get defensive coordinators something to worry about other than Patrick Mahomes and him throwing the ball down the field. If they have to worry about, and you've got a story that you're going to talk about with Hilaire, if they have to worry about that running back McKinnon in the third down situations, whether he's going to run a draw, or whether he's going to catch the ball in the backfield, or they have to worry about Williams, and they don't always just focus in on the passing game, that's a good thing for the Chiefs.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and he said something today that really caught my attention in this answer. Okay, so we're going to go to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was asked how the remodeled offensive line looks. Listen to this closely.
Just starting off with this year, vet mini camp. I mean, everything was going, going great. But we didn't really run a ball at vet mini camp just because, But as far as everything in from pass pro to just helping in the protection and being in the O-line room, man, everything is cordial. And as far as, the schemes and everything that we're implementing and putting in, I mean, y'all been practicing, y'all seeing everything. It's looking pretty good.
I had to listen to that for a second time because he said in the O-line room. He was in the O-line room checking out their blocking schemes and exactly how they block against different defensive fronts and where those holes could where those holes could open up. You said there was one other back you remember being in the offensive line group meetings.
Yeah, Marcus Allen was famous for not only being in the offensive line room, during the day, where he'd pop in every once in a while and kind of ask us some questions. And maybe, we'd dig through the game plan and say, hey, what do you guys think of this? What's your communication with that? But the cool thing about Marcus, and I think Clyde is kind of on the same page, is Marcus would come into our film room after practice. Now, in the NFL, once you're done with practice, you're done. You're done with the responsibilities of the day. I mean, you're there in the morning from maybe 7 o'clock, and then you have meetings all day. You have a little lunch. You have a walkthrough. You come back. You get ticked up. You go out to practice, and then you're done for the day. But most of the time, offensive line and defensive line, and linebackers, everybody else, they kind of get together, and they'll watch maybe a little bit of practice film, but mostly you watch game film. And Marcus would never go to the running back room. He'd always come in the offensive line room, and he'd sit there, and he wouldn't say much. He'd just listen, and he'd listen to our communication. Okay, if we were talking about a inside zone player to the right, he would listen and say what I was saying to Will Shields about what the communication was, what I'm trying to do. And Will would talk to me about, okay, listen, I need this, while I get up to the linebacker. And the tackle would say, okay, well, if you're going to do that, then, you know, we may have this call that you know, in case the guy's slanting in. And Marcus would listen to all that. And that's why everybody talks about how Marcus had such great vision. Marcus had great vision, but more importantly than that, he had great instincts. And his instincts were built, and his instincts were developed on understanding the schemes of the offensive line. He understood our blocking schemes as well as we did. So he knew what was going to happen before it happened. And he knew how those defensive linemen and linebackers were going to react before they did. So if you have an understanding of, if I can just do this with my head or my shoulder and maybe set that linebacker in order for Will Shields or in order for Dave Zott or for Tim Grunhardt to get up on that linebacker with just a movement of my shoulder or my head, that's going to open it up for me, and I know where I can hit that ball in the run play. And that was just so important, Frank, that he understood that, and he understood. And a lot of guys don't do that. A lot of guys will either they'll go home, or maybe they'll kind of, you know, get some treatment or whatever. Maybe they'll go meet with their running backs. But Marcus always believed that he would, if he was in the offensive line room, listening to communication and watching what we were watching, that he understood what was going to happen before it even did. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is onto something. Frank, and you're onto something too. You heard that. And I don't know if a lot of people picked that up, but that is so important, Kansas City, for everybody, that Clyde Edwards-Helaire understands that it's a symbiotic relationship between the offensive lineman and the running back, not only in the run game, but also in the passing game. And, Frank, the reason why he didn't play last year was what? As much. His pass protection.
Yeah, but he just doesn't pass protect that well, right?
Right. So if and pass protection as a running back especially, it's all about understanding where to go and how to get there. He's big enough and strong enough to do it. But if you hesitate in the NFL, I say it all the time, you hesitate, you lose. If you hesitate, you're going to fail. And the only reason you hesitate is because you're not quite sure what's going to happen. You may know your assignment, but the linebacker may not look like that line is drawn in the playbook or drawn in the game plan. He may actually do something a little bit different. But if you see it on film or you completely understand what your assignment is and how to get there, then you don't hesitate. And that's what I think Clyde Edwards is picking up on as he gets into his second year.
Yeah, right. And they really have to pick up their red zone offense and short yardage offense. And you got to do that with a running game. So that's, I think he's going to be so important this year. It's going to be really fun to watch and see how Andy uses him. Tim, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll do some Chris Jones talk. We're going to talk with Josh Briscoe, who normally has, almost entirely sports normally, mm-hmm. but tonight's the NBA draft at 7 o'clock, so Josh won't be on. But he's one of our guys who's been covering camp. And so we're going to talk to him a little bit about Chris Jones. Some very interesting things about Chris Jones, about how he has changed, how he's preparing for this season because he's trying to work in to be the defensive end, and also about his weight, which to me is very concerning. It's not because he's getting too big. It's because he's gotten 20 pounds smaller than he was last year. We'll be back with Josh Briscoe and more. You're listening to
Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bull. Appreciate you guys listening in on a Thursday of the NFL season. Frank, it has a nice ring to it. We appreciate you guys listening. Don't forget, CBD American Shaman right now, 30% off all their great products, whether it's CBN, CBG, CBD, anti-inflammatory, water solubles, whatever you need, they got it. Check them out, guys, 30% off.
All right, and we're also joined by Josh Briscoe, actually Joshua. I'm really not sure how to address you, Briscoe. Okay, so I'll just go. Yeah, you. Hey, you. Yo, dude.
I've gotten so used to responding to scum from you for all these years
scum.
That hearing you say my actual name, I didn't even recognize it was my turn to talk.
That's exactly right. From Almost Entirely Sports, which will not be heard tonight because we will have the NBA draft immediately following this program. But Josh was kind enough to join us on a night off, and he's not going to get very many of these until probably after the Super Bowl or hopefully after the Super Bowl. Right, Josh?
Yeah, the NFL season's a weird one because obviously you're home for the NFL. Monday night, Thursday night football, occasionally I get a little breather. But I will never complain about doing a Chiefs post-game show, hopefully all the way into February.
Yeah, you're right. Just give me a quick synopsis, what you think. I know you've seen some practice and you know, with the team up there, and you got to talk to the guys a little bit when they first got there. What are your thoughts about this season, where they have to go, what they got to do to get back to another Super Bowl?
I mean, I think I saw you tweet about this earlier, that like as long as Patrick Mahomes is taking snaps, they're one of the best teams in football, and that's completely inarguable. But there are some really interesting storylines here. I think most of them are probably on the defensive side because we do know that the offense, you know, you can talk about the second and third pass catchers or receivers and all that. You can talk about the offensive line. The rookies there are very interesting. Maybe we circle back to that later. But defensively, there are pretty legitimately enormous questions at every level of the defense. And personally, at this point, like I'm pretty confident that Spags is going to figure it out, especially in the secondary. But really, like you can look across the defensive line and say, what does Chris Jones look like and where is he playing? The linebackers, is Anthony Hitchens' injury serious at all? How much does Nick Bolton play? How much does Willie Gay play? How much does Ben Neiman play? Juan Thornhill's not out there with the ones right now with the safety. That's very strange. The cornerback group has at least one enormous question mark for whoever the third guy is behind Charvarius Ward and Legarius Sneed. So I really think defensively is where most of the intrigue is for me, and that there is a legitimate question at every single depth.
Josh, let's talk about that front level. That's Chris Jones and through yoga and other exercises.
Little Pilates. Yeah.
Yeah, Pilates. Has lost 20 pounds. And, you know, Frank's a little concerned about the loss of weight. I think he can probably get away with that at defensive end if that's where he's going to mainly play, which sounds like he's going to, although there's been some indication they move him inside a little bit at different times during practice. But how does his quickness look, and how does he look out there with that loss of weight? And do you think that's going to help him with kind of the assignment orientated the position that he has at defensive end with Contain?
Yeah, the 15 or 20 pounds, you can see. Like, you can see physically on him that he looks lighter than he's been any time, at least since his, you know, rookie campaign, I guess, and the bulk of his time with the Chiefs. And so that's obvious. I'll be very curious to see what he looks like once we get into a little more game speed, once we're in talking about full pads or even maybe some preseason action. Because him talking about the Pilates thing today, I thought was really interesting. Where he said, hey, I do that every offseason to, you know, stay in shape and to keep my body right. But he said specifically today, I started doing that earlier this offseason than I would another offseason because defensive ends have to be bendier. You've got to be able to bend your body to try to turn that edge. And look, that's not going to be his strong suit at defensive end anyway. Like, he is going to move to defensive end. I think that's a very real thing. He's going to move to defensive end and be one of the most powerful defensive ends in football. But I don't really think of that as being the most sort of current evolution of the position in the sport. So I kind of like a speedy defensive end. You can think about a Taco Charlton as a guy you can throw out there on third down, going to really bend to the edge. But you trust Chris Jones to be there on first and second down and actually be able to hold that spot, you know, the run, sealing the edge and all of that. I feel pretty confident about his ability to do that. But kind of leaning towards where Frank is at in terms of losing that weight, what I wonder is how he's going to look whenever he goes back inside, because that's where he's been dominant. Like, I'm a huge Chris Jones appreciator. I think he's probably the second best interior pass rusher in football. And so I do have some questions about, you know, can he perform at an equal or near level at the edge, because they think they've got more talent with Jaron Reed and Derek Nnadi and Tershawn Wharton and those guys in the middle of the defensive line. I'm not freaking out. I'm not worried about Chris Jones on the end, but I do wonder if he can be as dominant in a new position as he is in the middle.
Let's talk a little bit about that second level, and that's the linebacker position. Anthony Hitchens, who is still working with that hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. They didn't move Bolton to the Mike linebacker. They didn't put the green dot on him. They didn't want to put too much on him. They kind of left him at that will, but linebacker position. They brought some other guys up and put him in that linebacker position. Is that something you think that Will Bolton be able to handle that if called upon during the season, or do you think they're just going to say, listen, we're going to keep you at one spot, let you learn this spot, and you go with that scheme in that position for this year?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question, like a good way of framing that. I think that if Anthony Hitchens had a serious injury in week two, the Chiefs are going to have a real problem on their hands. If we're talking later in the season, could Bolton step into that role? I think he could, but I can't fully divorce the idea of Nick Bolton from Willie Gay last year, a couple second-round linebackers. And Bolton had a more prestigious and longer collegiate career than Gay did, so maybe he's more prepared earlier on. But Willie Gay was about to be unleashed, I think, right ahead of a playoff and then suffered that injury. Even then, I don't think he was going to get a ton of playing time. So Spags isn't going to throw a young linebacker out there whenever he thinks he might still be a bit of an issue defensively. Whenever another option is a guy like Ben Neiman, who he trusts to know the defense exactly correctly. So I hope that we see I'm mostly looking at Willie Gay for this year in his second season, and I think Nick Bolton will probably be the guy next year. But in that interim, I do think there will be probably a point partway through the season where maybe you see Bolton being able to get a little bit more of that work, Spags being willing to put a little bit more on him. But I would not expect to see that terribly soon.
You know, it's amazing. We're talking with Josh Briscoe, almost entirely sports normally here. Heard here right after we get off on Thursday nights, but it's the NBA draft tonight here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. My deal is they're spending more money on defense than they are on offense, and they have yet to sign Tyrann Mathieu, who showed up on time at camp. He's not complaining about his contract, at least not yet, and he's not sitting out. So, all those cryptic tweets that we got during the offseason, we can probably shove them where the sun doesn't shine, as far as he's concerned. What are your thoughts about Tyrann Mathieu? And, well, I think he's invaluable as far as this defense is concerned.
Yeah, I think that the extension is still just a matter of time. I was talking to our friend Matt Derrick on the show on Monday, and he said that every day that Tampa goes on, there's a 1% better chance that he's going to sign his extension tomorrow than there was yesterday. But if you get to week one and he has it signed, then all of a sudden you run into a brick wall and everything kind of freezes there. I'd be really surprised if we get to week one of the regular season and Mathieu is not signed long term. I think that with all of that being said about some of the places where there are questions on this defense, especially going into the future, like whenever Hitchens is probably not here next year, Tyrann Mathieu is the guy in the back of the defense that Spags can trust implicitly, where there is no second guessing, are we on the same page or not? I think that's the relationship that they have. So I expect that deal to get done still soon. I expect him to be excellent. And look, he's already a little bit older than most people probably instinctively think of. And his game has aged pretty well, so I'm not quite as nervous about giving him a few extra years as I might be for another safety that relies more on their speed. Mathieu's already not the fastest guy, but he might be the smartest guy in the back of the defense and obviously like the most ferocious guy in that spot. So I think his game will age fine, and I think he will finish his career here in Kansas City, or at least spend the next 3 years here, and I think that deal has to get done by the start of the season.
And the other situations on the other side there, where Mathieu's starting on one side, looks like it's Sorensen right now on the other side. Are they just easing Thornhill back into that position, or do we have a more serious situation here?
I don't know. It's very confusing. We haven't gotten to hear from Spags yet. I know for a fact he will be asked about that. I actually got to talk to Thornhill or ask him a question back on Sunday because he was reporting early with some of the rookies, and he talked about feeling 100% healthy for the first time since his ACL tear, which is now about a year and a half ago. And I asked him about being kind of the veteran there for those few days because Mathieu wasn't supposed to report yet. None of the vets were other than a few of the injured guys. And he talked about he said, I love it, was his phrase starting off when I asked if he liked being the mentor there defensively. And he went on and talked about it for like 30 seconds of, I love being the guy back here and setting an example and saying, hey, if you make a mistake in a play here, you've got to forget about it, move on to the next thing. Like, just follow me. Let me set that example. He told a story about how Spags and Matthew had helped him become a better leader of this defense. And then training camp with the full team starts, and he's behind Dan Sorensen. So I don't know. He is clearly the more talented player there. Dan Sorensen has a role on this defense, but it should not be as the sort of the single high safety or the free safety type that Thornhill was born to play. So I really don't know yet. It is going to be one of those things that I keep a very close eye on over the next few weeks to figure out the answer to that question of, is this Thornhill getting back into the game a little bit more slowly, or is this a choice that Steve Spagnuolo is making right now? And if it's the latter, it would be one of the very few things that I think I would want to ask a stern question to Spags about and ask him why he's doing that.
Well, Brett Beach special is Mike Hughes, a guy who's come in and everybody kind of forgot about it a little bit. 2018, I believe he was a first-round draft choice with Minnesota Vikings and has kind of fallen to the wayside there. And now all of a sudden he's in Kansas City and looks like he was out there with the starting corners. And then when they went to nickel package, he went to nickel corner, and Snead and Ward were the outside corners. But Mike Hughes, that could be a great story for the Chiefs if they find another corner, a guy who can go in there and cover, and a guy that really nobody really was on the radar with up until mini camp and then now in training camp.
Yeah, he's one of the other guys defensively right now where I'm very curious to see how it plays out, and partially because I'm a big fan of Bashaud Breeland, and he ended up in Minnesota. And basically, the Chiefs did a late-round pick swap, and Hughes is about $1 million or so cheaper than Breeland this year, no exorbitant price tag. But he's also significantly younger. He's 24 years old. He'll be 24 when the season starts. The issue, though, is that he's been hurt his entire career. Like, he spent 3 years in Minnesota, and he started 7 games. He wasn't great when he was on the field. So I found it very interesting that he was getting sort of the number one outside or number two outside guy spot opposite Charvarius Ward, and then having Snead in the slot some, having Hughes in the slot some, and having Snead outside a little bit. I think the best group for this corner group right now is that Ward is an outside guy and Snead is outside and then kicks into the slot, and then someone else takes that outside role whenever you're in the sub package. That very well could be Hughes. They could try Hughes out in that slot role to keep Snead on the outside. But for me, as someone who, again, really thought that they would benefit by bringing back Bashaud Breeland to just have a little bit more consistency outside, I'm interested to see what Hughes looks like, but I am a little bit afraid of the cornerback group. It just seems like there are three or four guys with really volatile possibilities. It's Hughes, it's Baker, it's Rashad Fenton, on some level maybe Bo Peet Keith, but I think it's really probably Hughes and Baker and Fenton being the main three. I think those three guys have a lot of potential ranges of outcomes, but I don't feel super confident about anybody in that cornerback group other than maybe Snead, and even him. He's going into his second year. Like, that is a sophomore campaign for a cornerback is a really tough act. So I'm really curious to see how he gets used and how that entire unit gels.
Now, the guys on the other side, the wide receivers, obviously Tyreek Hill is a superstar and is the number one receiver. I know they're kind of searching for a number two. Mecole Hardman, we'll see. I mean, this is a big camp for him. Andy said it, and Frank brought up, and a lot of people are concerned about some of the stuff he did in the offseason as far as not working on Mahomes. Yeah, we'll see if that affects the relationship between Mahomes and Hardman. I don't know if it will or not, but what about Callaway? A lot of people are saying that he's been running with the ones, too. How does he look out there?
To be honest, I wasn't out there today, and so I haven't seen him report with my own eyes. He's come up a couple of times. I think Cornell Powell has to have the inside track at this point, just because of what they have invested in and what the long term view could be. But Callaway's name again has come up often enough as one of those sort of reclamation projects that Brett Veach really likes, and he had all the talent coming out of college. He was a mid round pick that gives you something to kind of keep an eye out for. I think more than anything, it's probably a competition between like Callaway and Byron Pringle and Cornell Powell for that spot. I think it's Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson who are probably more directly competing for that second spot in Watkins' absence. But if Callaway made the team, I do think it would be a good sign for him maybe having something left in the tank that we weren't fully expecting.
We're talking with Josh Briscoe, almost entirely sports. He's covering the Kansas City Chiefs up in camp. And then he, of course, does our post-game coverage here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. A little different situation for the media up there this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's funny because we end up, all of us, you know, submit our vax cards and have to get a negative COVID test and, you know, get cleared for all that. And then there's a big media tent atop the hill that if you follow any Chiefs media on Twitter, that's where all the pictures mostly come from. And then back down inside the tent, it's a very different experience. We've got actual seats. We're all spread out. Yeah, something like 6 feet. Maybe not. Maybe a generous 6 feet. Like, I'm 6 feet tall, you know. I'm not, but maybe I could claim it. We have to kind of keep our space, have a really kind of stripped down media core that makes for some quicker press conferences sometimes, and the same crew getting asked the questions. But yeah, it's very weird. Again, I wasn't up there today, so I couldn't tell you how the crowd has been, but I've heard great things in terms of just being a visitor. But from a media perspective, just like most things have been for the last year and a half or so, it's a little bit weird.
Talk to us about the fans, the crowds. What's kind of the protocol for the people that are going up there?
Well, so things are ticketed this year, so you have to have a lot of that lined up ahead of time. That'd be the main thing that I would tell people to know. And the Chiefs have put a lot of that information up on their website and everything. So I don't want to miss any important details of it. But I would tell you that you have to have that set up ahead of time. You can't just show up like you could in years past. The many days I'd drive over either from the hotel up there or drive up from Kansas City and then end up in a long line of cars. It won't be quite that hectic anymore because he's trying to keep a little extra control there and try to keep everybody safe and not totally overrun the practice fields up there.
All right, Josh Briscoe, almost entirely sports. Thanks for taking some time out tonight, Josh. I know you basically had a night off, and I dragged you back in here, but I just wanted to get some of your thoughts and feelings about the first few days of camp up there, and really appreciate it. Josh Briscoe, of course, almost entirely sports. It follows us normally on Thursdays, but tonight will be the NBA draft. So you back on tomorrow night?
Yes, tomorrow. No, actually, tomorrow I'm hosting the program. They're giving me the big chair.
Oh my
tomorrow.
God! Oh,
so,
no!
Yeah. After tomorrow, I won't even answer your text anymore.
I don't blame you for that. All right, Josh. Josh, thanks, buddy. I appreciate your time tonight. And we're gonna take a quick break here, and we'll be back with more right after this on
Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunert and Frank Bohl, and we are in the NFL season as training camp has started up at St. Joe. And just like Johnson, want to go up and watch the guys up in training camp, go to the Kansas City Chiefs website, and there's some information on there how you can go about doing that. I know it's a little bit different this year, but there are fans there, and there is a opportunity to go, but you have to go through some different protocols to do that. But, you know, it's a nice setting to watch training camp, and it's right close to Kansas City. You don't have to go up to River Falls or William Jewell was pretty darn close, too. But you don't have to go up to River Falls anymore. You go right to St. Joe.
That's exactly right, and they love seeing the fans up there, and there have been a lot of them. They've jumped through all the hoops to get up there and get out there and check it out. And so it's been a lot of fun. And I know, Tim, you'll be in your regular seat next week. You'll be right back here in Kansas City. So we'll get more on that. We'll keep an eye on the Chiefs over the next week and figure out what's going on up there and see what happens with Juan Thornhill and Chris Jones. You know why Jones lost all that weight, don't you? Because now they can't put him back at defensive tackle.
That's about right.
He's been campaigning to be a defensive end. He ain't never going back to tackle.
Yeah, Frank, you know what? We're a little bit of R&R as Colin has about 4 or 5 days off before he starts training camp with the Jayhawks next Sunday. So we took him down here to Florida, and we were fishing today. Frank caught some nice fish. He hooked a 300-pound shark and fought it for 45 minutes. Didn't bring it up, though. Thank God.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. God. Okay, right. Buddy. You've been listening to
Crunch Time.